In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Throughout Luke's Gospel, Jesus is always setting his face towards Jerusalem, the city known for rejecting and killing the prophets of God. The Bible doesn't record their deaths, but the Talmud and other sources of the tradition tell us that Isaiah was sawed in half, Amos was assassinated, Jeremiah stoned to death. Early in his ministry, Jesus knows that his Father's will for him was to live and to be fully alive. His mission was to love, to lead a life of service, to teach, to heal, to bless. And from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus knows that this new way of living, this new way of being, is so offensive to the ways of the world that he knows he will be killed for it. Herod the Great tried to have Jesus killed in his infancy. His son Herod Antipas, featured in today's gospel, has already beheaded John the Baptist. So it's no surprise to Jesus that the Pharisees tell him that Herod would want him dead now too. Perhaps the Pharisees thought they were warning him and doing him a favor. Or perhaps they were trying to get him to hide and to discredit himself as a true prophet of God. No matter their intent, instead of deterring Jesus from his mission, it gives him even more focus. In reply, Jesus is basically saying, "That old fox needs to know that I am healing the sick and preaching love for enemies. Don't worry. I already know this love is going to get me killed. But don't stop me. I'm heading to Jerusalem, the place where they've always killed the prophets of God." Jesus doesn't call Herod a fox because he is sly and crafty. He calls him a fox because Herod is acting like a varmint in God's fields, corrupt and violent, only looking out for himself, instilling terror, destroying creation, and violently killing other creatures. Foxes come in many forms in our lives, seeking the power to kill and to destroy, to corrupt and to lay desolate, to lie and twist the truth. Jesus is saying, "Tell that old fox Herod that even in the face of all the worst possible things he can do to me, that God will still raise me up on the third day when I finish my work, and you will see the very power of God." Another fox was on a killing spree in God's fields this past week. On Friday, while faithfully attending to their prayers, 50 of our Muslim brothers and sisters were shot and killed in Christchurch, New Zealand, with about 34 others injured. More hurt, more hate, more violence. Jesus came to teach us God's way of love to stop all this senseless violence. And truth be told, love is not only hard work, it's exhausting work. It's excruciating work. Hate, on the other hand, is easy, and it's deeply infectious. Anger at injustice can be righteous and holy, but even then, righteous anger tempered without practicing forgiveness can also quickly manifest as hate, because hating is easy, and hating is gratifying. But love is not easy. Love takes practice, and it takes exhaustion. Love takes work because love is self-emptying. It means we put ourselves out there in a vulnerable way, and we might not be loved back. Jesus fully reached out in perfect love, and it cost him his life. When we have the courage to obediently follow Jesus in the way of his Father's love, the world may attack us too. Jesus never promises that following him will be easy or without cost. As people of faith who know the love and power of God in our own lives, when we stand up for equality, for justice, for peace, we will be hated by those who are in power, and we will be hated by those who are benefiting from a system of iniquity, injustice, and exploitation. They will hate us because we are calling them out. And the truly hard work is loving them all the more. Love can only be offered. It cannot be forced. That would be coercion. Love can only be offered. If you ever loved someone that you could not protect, then you know the sadness of Jesus' heart here in today's gospel as he weeps over Jerusalem. If you've ever seen someone waste their life away on drugs or alcohol, or perhaps bad relationships, or accruing vast wealth and notoriety, or being famous, or whatever else it may be, when you see them consumed and obsessed with the very next thing that they are convinced will complete their lives, fix all their problems, and heal them, then you know how Jesus feels about Jerusalem. We cannot save them. We cannot change them. We cannot get rid of the things that they seek. All we can do is open our arms, and we cannot make anyone walk into them. Open arms, exposed chest, how much more vulnerable can we be? Or like the image Jesus gives us of himself as our mother hen, wings out, breast exposed, covered by the pinions of her wings and brooding over us. In that image, we see a foretaste of the cross, wings out, breast exposed, being saved from sin and harm by our Mother Christ. Each Lent, we spend time retelling and reliving what Jesus experienced in the events that led to his crucifixion and death. While this is a time to understand how the wrong we do and the hurt we cause affects our lives and those around us, it's not a time to pretend that we can rewind, undo, redo, or do anything over that has already happened. Rather, Lent is a time to give our wounds, our hurts, our pain, our sorrow to the one who bore all pain and sorrow. Each Wednesday night in Lent, we have the Stations of the Cross. They are depicted in these amazing and inspiring works of art that surround us on every side. When we walk in the ways of Jesus' love, we walk the way of the cross. In it, our own wounds are exposed, but following the way of Jesus, we try to stop wounding others and wounding ourselves. The way of Jesus is never repaying evil for evil. We can trust Jesus with our wounds, including the deep hurt we have at the senseless slaughter of our faithful Muslim brothers and sisters in Christchurch, New Zealand, because it is by Jesus' wounds that our own wounds are healed. In Christ, no one is lost. Jesus is preparing a place for us because Jesus is our home. As Paul tells us in Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Subjection to Jesus isn't like subjection to anything else we know. Subjection to Christ is a paradox. Subjection means being remade, reshaped, recreated into our highest and truest selves as God intends for us. To be made part of his body in holy baptism, marked as Christ's own forever, and to be made part of his glory is itself perfect freedom. I pray that we will have the grace and the will to follow Jesus in his Father's way of love, that in imitating Jesus' perfect love for us, we may share his love with this broken and wounded world that is desperate for the healing from the outstretched arms of his mercy and the divine protection of his most sacred heart of love. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.